Human rights are where law and politics meet. It can be an unfriendly meeting. A few years ago, the then Prime Minister, speaking to the House of Commons, described a recent Supreme Court judgment about human rights as appalling. The same Prime Minister, on a later occasion, said about another human rights decision that it made him physically sick. These are strong words. What's the fuss about? There is nothing new about human rights apart from the name. A quarter of a millennium ago, Sir William Blackstone, the author of the earliest methodical survey of the common law, called them natural rights. They were, he believed, recognized by the law because they belonged to human beings by the immutable laws of nature. The idea behind this is simple and undeniably attractive. It is that there are some inalienable rights which human beings enjoy, not by the largesse of the state, not by the forbearance of their fellow citizens, but because they are inherent in their humanity. This is the idea which underlies modern human rights theory. In a democracy, differences of opinion on what rights ought to exist are resolved politically through legislation. But advocates of human rights have always been suspicious of majorities which ultimately control democratic legislatures. The idea behind modern international human rights law is that certain fundamental rights should have a higher status than ordinary laws, so that they cannot readily be dislodged politically, even with the authority of a democratic legislature. In principle, democracies can enact whatever rights they like. The object of human rights law is to ensure that they get certain rights, whether they like them or not. To achieve that, however, it is necessary to identify some other source of legitimacy for these rights, apart, that is, from the wishes of the population. In a more religious age than ours, this was perfectly straightforward. Rights were part of the moral law ordained by God. In a totalitarian state, it's equally straightforward. Rights, so far as they exist at all, are ordained by the ruling group in accordance with its ideology. But in a secular democracy, what is it that makes rights legitimate, if not the decision of representative bodies? What is the source, independent of popular endorsement, which enables us to identify some rights as so fundamental that they must not be removed or limited by political decision? This is the city of David Hume, the great philosopher of the 18th century Scottish Enlightenment. He rejected the whole concept of natural law. It is always dangerous to paraphrase Hume, but essentially, he rejected it because you cannot derive moral principles from abstract reasoning or empirical observation. They derive their legitimacy from collective moral sentiment. Rights do not exist in a vacuum. They are the creation of law, which is a product of social organization and is therefore necessarily a matter of political choice. So, when we speak of some rights as being inherent in our humanity, we are not really saying anything about the nature of humanity. We are making a personal moral judgment that some rights ought to exist because they are so fundamental to our values and so widely accepted as to be above legitimate political debate. Today, the main source of human rights in Britain is an international treaty, the European Convention on Human Rights. It is a basic constitutional principle that international treaties have no effect on people's legal rights or duties without an act of Parliament. In theory, this means that Parliament always has the last word on the contents of our law, even when it originates in a treaty. There is, however, one category of treaties which largely escapes parliamentary control. I will call them dynamic treaties. A dynamic treaty is one which does not just say what our domestic law should be. It also provides a supranational mechanism for altering and developing it in future. For those who believe that fundamental rights should exist independently of democratic choice, dynamic treaties have an obvious attraction. They create a source of law which is independent of democratic political choices. The European Convention on Human Rights is a classic dynamic treaty. The Human Rights Act 1998 empowers the British courts to strike down any rule of common law, regulation, or government decision which is found to be incompatible with the Human Rights Convention. Even an Act of Parliament can be declared incompatible with the Convention, which is a signal to Parliament to repeal or amend it. The Human Rights Convention was not originally designed as a dynamic treaty. It was drafted in the aftermath of the terrible history of the Third Reich, and it was conceived as a partial statement of rights universally regarded as fundamental: no torture, no arbitrary killing, no imprisonment, freedom of thought and expression, due process of law, and so on. It is the Strasbourg Court which has transformed it into a dynamic treaty. The doctrine of the Strasbourg Court is that the Convention is what it calls a living instrument. The Court develops it by a process of extrapolation or analogy, so as to reflect its own view of what additional rights a modern democracy ought to have.